You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Cookies and coffee and Cokes. If you want to help people, then you drop it in that purple box, and all the money's put in that box goes to help Rec Room people. We have three ex-inmates that handle that money. They're the ones you need to talk to if you have a need. We got Craig Smith sitting right over here, and we've got Mo sitting at the back, and then way in the back running the video, we got Rick Gokinay. Those are the three people you need to talk to. But they're there to help. They've been there. They understand. They know. And so just let them know. But we're glad you're here. We appreciate you being here and hope that you have a great time. Help us again with the butt cans out front. They're for butts. They're not for paper goods, and they're not for liquids. So help us with that. And let me tell you that once our special music starts, then the refreshment bar is locked down, the restaurants are locked down, you're locked down. We're going to have a lockdown here because we won't be long, so we don't want to be disturbing and moving around and bothering people during our program. Anyhow, we're going to have a special song tonight. Brother Charles, I think, is going to introduce it, and then we'll talk to you a little bit.
Good singers in our church, a lot of good singers in our church. One of them happens to be Brother Charles Williams, and he's got a great first name. We're so glad he's here tonight. He did this song at the church last Sunday, and I love it. I asked him to do it again tonight, so he's going to. Give Brother Charles a big hand. Thank you. Let's do that one more time.
I stood in the courtroom. The judge turned my way. It looks like you're guilty. Now what do you say? I spoke up, Your Honor. I have no defense. That's when mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case, called to the stand. God's saving grace, the blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgive us when mercy walked in. I stood there in wonder, how could this be? Someone so guilty had just been set free. Oh, my chains were broken. I felt born again the moment that mercy walked in. Mercy walked in. walked in and pleaded my case, called to the stand, God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in. Oh yes, the blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in.
Good song. Boy, aren't you glad? Turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of 1 Samuel. And if you don't have a Bible to turn to and would like to do that, if you lift your hand, we'll get you one. All right. We got some hands up here. Just keep them up till you go. Let me say this about the Bible. If you don't have one here in Odessa, then you just keep that one as our gift to you. Would you do that? We'd like you to win. Another fella right down here. Or one over here. Yeah. We'd like for you to have that Bible. I was thinking, and I don't do that very good, but there's so many different opinions of who God is. Everybody's got an idea. In fact, A.A. says it this way: God is I understand him. Now, I'm pretty sure from what I've read in the Bible that God is who he is regardless how you and I understand him. Doesn't make any difference about that. I think in my lifetime I've understood him as a cop. I've understood him as a judge. I've understood him as no grandpa, let the grandkids get by with everything. I've understood him as a ruler. I've understood him as somebody who could care less. I've understood him as somebody that's not personable, and then because of Jesus coming into my life, I think he's very personal today. But he's changed a lot. He hadn't changed. My thinking has changed a lot. And you read some things in the Bible that are not anywhere near of what we're hearing in 2016 in the 21st century. God is good, God is sweet, God is kind. And it seems that we just keep running at him head on. When God led the children of Israel out of Egypt on the way to the promised land, there was a nation named Amalek that had a king named Agag who attacked Israel for no reason. Not only did they attack them for no reason, hold your finger there to 1 Samuel. We'll get to that in a moment. But go with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Back to the left, chapter 26, verse 17. I want you to notice God says what the nation of Amalek did. Verse 17 said, "Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way, when you were come forth out of Egypt, how he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, and all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. He attacked them as a coward. He come from behind. He attacked their back. He attacked the women and the kids and the feeble. Therefore, God said, therefore it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about, in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Thou shalt not forget it. He said, it ain't over with. He said, there's coming a day. Now then, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 15, because the time has come. Israel has a king now named Saul. Samuel was the priest and prophet of God. We'll start with verse 1. It says, Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. He said, I'm going to put you in a great position. I'm going to make you king of God's people. Now, it'd be great to be a king, but to be a king of God's people, the special people, makes you a very special king. And so he said, now listen to what God's going to tell you. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that, he said, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how that he laid wait for him on the way when he came up from Egypt. He ambushed him. He attacked him. I remember that. God's got a memory. Most of us are just really hoping we'll forget, don't we? I talked to a guy this week, and I said, what are you doing back in here? I was out Hector County. And he said, these are not any new charges. And everybody tells me that. I don't think anybody's gotten any new charges in 3 years. No, doubt. But in this case, he was always telling the truth. He said, this is an old warrant, Leland. And here's what he said, that I thought they was going to forget. Now, won't that be a great day? That's not going to happen. You got a better chance of winning that big lottery than for them to forget a warrant. It's going to come. Be sure your sins will find you out. It's going to come. And he said, I'm in here on that. I've got to get that solved. I'm probably going to have to serve some time. All that stuff he's been working on, hoping it wouldn't happen, now he's going to have to redo, because you got to start over. Nobody just walks back out and picks back up. So he said, now listen to what God's going to tell you, because I remember what Amalek did. And so here's what he said. Now go smite Amalek. He's telling Saul, the king of Israel, you go smite Amalek, and listen to this, and utterly destroy all that they have. Spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Here's the picture of God, people. He'd be pretty tough. He said, I want you to kill everybody big enough to die in Amalek. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites, and Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and of the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they utterly destroyed. Everything wasn't any good, they destroyed it, which is really sharp. Like most of us do, you got anything to give to the poor, we give that that's wore out. Give that, don't want. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I've set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul cometh to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, I like this. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. We know how to talk the talk, don't we? The king knew how to, blessed be. I've done what God told me to do. We just read where he didn't do any of it like I told him to do. And now he's over here bragging about it. And Samuel said, if you did all that, how come I'm hearing them dead sheep bleat? It's amazing. First time I ever heard dead sheep make noise. He said, verse 14, Samuel said, what meaneth then this, the bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. Now he turns on the people. He said, the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen. We're going to blame them. Somebody else's fault. Not only do I know people that are not getting any new charges, but one thing I found, nobody that's been brought in was really had the drugs when they brought them, when they was in that car. They brought them somebody else. And I don't know how it is. In fact, I'm going to talk to the sheriff about how they can just constantly keep arresting the wrong person. I believe they're batting 1,000 on that. Leland, it wasn't my stuff. I didn't know they had it in there. I got in this car. You know, maybe you ought to be giving some kind of test to people you ride with. Or maybe just get your own car and not give anybody a ride. I don't know. But here's what he said, the people did it. He said they're the one, but they did it for a good purpose. They had a good heart. Because they're going to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. This we save that good stuff to be a sacrifice. We're going to help. We're going to take care of it. See, it's kind of like the cowboy said, hey man, don't throw away any good dope. If we're going to quit, at least we can sell it. Isn't that our thinking? Man, don't do that. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I'll tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners of the Amalekites and fight against him until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, he's still denying it, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. You read a guy's testimony and then he tells you he didn't say that. I said, well, where'd you get that? Said here that you did this and now you're saying, you know, Saul said, man, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I killed all them people. I killed that gang. verse 21. But the people took of the spoil. We talked about it. And they're going to sacrifice. Verse 22, Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord." Bunch of you need to get your religion and throw it outside and start just doing what God tells you to do. We learn all the right words and right things, and we're going to do this. And then I want you to highlight in your Bible, verse 23, for rebellion. And if you got one of our Bibles, you can keep it highlighted in it. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as is iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Now all of a sudden old Saul, he's going to start begging and whining and carrying on. Give you three things right quick. I'm going to talk to you about what God said and why he said it. You remember he started out, he remembered what the Amalekites had done to his people. God remembers things that are going on. He's not some old-fashioned somebody like, see, I can forget. It's amazing. I can remember stuff that took place 50 years ago, but I can't remember what I wore this morning. Friend of mine told me here a while back, we was talking on the phone, we're the same age, and he said, "Leland, they just diagnosed me with premature Alzheimer's." And I said, "They have?" And he said, "Yeah, they have." And I said, "Well, how did they do that? How did they know you had premature Alzheimer's?" And he said, "Well, they give me a bunch of tests," and he said, "I failed all the short memory tests." I said, "Ken, all of us have failed a short memory test. We all got premature Alzheimer's. Goodness." We started our Bible class back up Monday night. We were off the month of December because of Angel Tree and a lot of things that we get so busy in. And we didn't do a Bible class for the month of December. And when we started back up, I would have started on a lesson we ended with, because I couldn't remember doing it. Everybody said, "Oh, y'all, we've done that." When I said we hadn't either, they outvoted me. Sure enough, we had. Let me tell you, God's got zero tolerance for people that disobey his word deliberately. He's not interested in your vision, your feeling, your dreams. It's the word. God has put in writing everything you and I need to know. But he did put it in writing. Well, I tell you, I just feel like that doesn't have anything to do with it. That's why you've taken drugs in the first place. You didn't feel like you wanted to feel. So we just change our feeling. That's why they call them mind-altering drugs. That's why we drink booze. That's why we want to get some feeling. And I just believe, I don't believe God would be that harsh. Go back and read this chapter. What God said. God was brutal when he said it. Let me tell you, do you think wasn't anybody screaming and hollering when the flood came and the whole earth is out there drowning? Do you think nobody was screaming and hollering in pain when Sodom and Gomorrah fire and brimstone rang down on it? Do you think that we don't have that, the pains of car wrecks and everything else? God is in control, and God will remember. You don't just laugh in his face. Every time I get sick, every time I hurt, which is getting to be more often, but when bad things happen, first thing I do is, Lord, am I messing this up? Am I messing up? Please cleanse me. I don't want to be in this mess. I've done too much already. And the first thing I think about is my sin. Many times in the years past, and we'd be going in to prison, but a lot of the ex-inmates would offer to pay for mine and Linda's walk to Emmaus, and every time one come up, we happen to be in prison somewhere, and in fact, she told one time, he said, I'm going to pay y'all's walk to Emmaus. She said, well, we go every weekend. We're in prison somewhere. But then I decided the last place in the world I need to be is where somebody's going to brag on me. I already think I'm the greatest guy going. And you do too.
We do.
You think that. We all think. Here's how we say it. I know I'm not perfect. Well, boy, you could have fooled me. How many of you want to admit you're filthy? Filthy. That's what God said, you're filthy. And that's what I am. Outside of Jesus Christ, I don't have one thing that I can impress him with. What God said was, it's payback time. And that's why he said it. There always is. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If a warrant's out, it's going to be out till they take you in. No, not, it's not going to go away, people. We're going to have to face him. And we can either... The Bible said that every knee shall bow to the name of Jesus Christ. Now, some knees will bow voluntarily, and some knees he'll make bow, but they'll all bow. He is King of Kings. Now then, why did Saul do what he did, and why did he do it? And he decided he had a better way than God. That's why people change Bibles all the time. I've got a better one. I saw a cartoon about this guy standing at the bookstore. He said, you got a different version that's easier to obey. Yeah. See? Because, see, it really doesn't make us any difference much anymore. A good friend of mine, in fact, a man that was very instrumental in my life as a young Christian, put in a Christian bookstore down in Coleman, Texas, and he scrimped and saved to do that, and he knew people were going to be so thrilled to be able to get good Bibles and good Bible books and good sound doctrine, and he just couldn't wait to get it in. And then his heart was broken because nobody really cared. What we want is some kind of feel-good something that'll make us do better. That's why that people can listen to Joel Osteen once a week and just do great. See? Now I'm going to tell you what. David said he needed God's word daily, not once a week. It looks on the surface like old Saul was more compassionate than God. He's going to let some live. He's going to keep the best. In fact, he's a little better with money than God would be, because they say, hey, there's no use getting rid of this good stuff. We can use it to sacrifice. In fact, he's more religious than God was, because he wanted to sacrifice some stuff. God didn't say a word about sacrificing anything. Hey, we just look better. You hear some of these guys preaching, you think he's going to teach an angel's table manners. They're so neat and nice. And God said, here's what we're going to do. This is how it's going to be. You know what Saul tried to do? He tried to be his own counselor. I talked to a lady out of Ector County, and she spent the first 20 minutes of our conversation, and I can call her name, some of you know her, but she spent the first 20 minutes of conversation telling me that Safe P and all them didn't know what she needed. She knew exactly what she needed. We all got our own answers, don't we? You think, let me tell you something. You get to thinking you're pretty good at making decisions. I want you to think about this, but if you're right 55% of the time, you'd go to Wall Street and become a millionaire. Think about that. You just keep buying and selling that stock, making more money every day. If you're right, 55% of the time. We say, well, I don't need this. I don't need that. We got people that check into the halfway house. They really want to go over here to Freedom House. They're just thrilled to death to get in there until they get sober and cleaned up. And then they get to knowing more than old Jamie does. All of a sudden, they can handle their own deal. I don't need this anymore. You can't tell me what to do. Let me tell you what I really believe. And I wouldn't have done this for the world. But I believe the last 2 years I was in Houston, Texas, I believe I could have stopped a rankest stranger on the street and said, sir, will you make my major decisions for me? And I'd have come out better than what I was coming out. Now, don't think for a minute I was going to do it, see, because I was smart and I knew what I was doing. That's why I got to Odessa broke, lonely, and by myself, and nothing. I ended up like I started, made the full point. Now then, what was the result of Agag? Remember, he attacked Israel, of Saul, of Samuel. Agag is killed. Saul is rejected king. He's not killed. God didn't kill him. But he said, you can't be king anymore. I think some of us, I know that I could have never pastored a church because of my background. There's some things that my background took me plumb out of because of what I did. You can't undo it. God in his grace has done a whole lot of good things for me. But I'm going to tell you, part-time obedience is full-time disobedience. Listen to me carefully. You're going to obey him part of the time. We're going to do it part of the time, some of the time. I'm going to speak on this in a few weeks, I think. But let me just give you the gist of it. Peter had fished all night long. He and the disciples, and didn't catch a thing. And Jesus came along and said, cast your nets on the other side of the ship. And I'm sure Peter's mind, all of a sudden, here he is, a carpenter, telling me how to fish. But Peter said, yes, I will. And here's what he did. But the Bible said he cast his net, not his nets. And they got so many fish that the net broke. He disobeyed God. He only cast one net. He said, cast all the nets. It cost them money, cost them extra time, caused them extra trouble. And that's why, and if you read, and I used to wonder, why did Peter say, Lord, I'm a sinful man? Because he knew what he'd done. Jesus knew he disobeyed. Peter knew he disobeyed. None of the preachers ever think about that. We just skip that. And some of them even change the word and change it to singular from plural. But he said, cast your nets. You can't do it part way. Or you all you do end up being miserable over and over and over. I want you to bow your heads a moment. Tonight, heads bowed, eyes closed, please. You're here. And you're really tired of being part way. You're really miserable just partly obeying God. Maybe God has dealt with you over and over, and you've said no over and over. You don't know how many times God will offer you again. Or if he will. But tonight, he's tugging at your heart. And you could leave here in full fellowship with him. Happy. Sins gone. Washed away. Paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're going to stand in a moment. And I want you to step out and come down this aisle. Somebody will meet you and show you in the Bible how you can know that you're on your way to heaven, that you can go to heaven, that you can have eternal life, not tomorrow, tonight, right now. Our Father, I pray that you do whatever needs to be done to touch the hearts of those tonight that do not know you. To touch the hearts of those, Father, that know you but have walked away from you, have been part-time in a full-time job. Father, I pray that your will be done in their lives. That they'd find the joy and the peace and the happiness that comes from serving Jesus Christ. Won't you stand your feet, head still bowed, eyes still closed. On the very first verse, as Brother Charles begins to sing, will you come and ask Christ into your heart and life? Come on, right now. Just as I am. Yes, sir, come right on. Come right on.
One thing, but that
come on. God have you to do? Come on, yes, come right on.
And that you bid me come to thee,
come on.
O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
We're not going to tarry long. As the musicians play, have you done what God wants you to do? See, we know if we're where we ought to be. If you're not, would you trust Jesus Christ to put you there? Would you trust him to do it for you? Sing one more verse, Brother Charles. Nobody comes, we'll be through. Come on this verse.
Just as I am.
Come on.
And waiting God to rid my soul of one of blood to you. Blood can cleanse it.
us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for those that have come. Father, we thank you for meeting with us. Pray, Lord, that you'd give those another chance that turned you down one more time. Father, help us realize that life is short. We have no guarantee. And that, Father, you're in the saving business. When people ask you to save them, you'll never make anybody do that. Go with us now through the week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Refreshment bars open.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.